Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for another time that we can come to you humbly to sit at your feet in order to learn of you. We approach your word reverently this morning and with deep hunger for the truth. And we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling as your people, and the exceeding greatness of your power that is available to us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to see clearly what you are showing us this morning. Thank you also for helping us not just to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers as well, so that we may profit thereby. We give you thanks for helping us, teaching us, and guiding us into all truth, now and always, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a very popular chapter in the Bible, and it's a good chapter to study. So please take time to study it again and again, because in this particular chapter of the Bible, we see clearly that there is a difference between natural understanding and spiritual understanding. And God wants us to walk in spiritual understanding as his children, because God is spirit and we are spirit also, because we are made in the image of God. As Christians, we have a new birth. We are born again in order to live the new life in Christ. And that life is essentially spiritual, first and foremost. And then, haven't developed that life in our spirit, we can get our souls and our bodies to tag along in the ways of God. But first and foremost, we must understand that as Christians, we are essentially spirit beings in Jesus' name. Bible teaches us very, very clearly that Jesus Christ, the second Adam, is a life-giving spirit. The first Adam, who was made from the dust of the earth, was earthly. But the second Adam came from heaven. He was not formed from the dust of the earth. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he is a life-giving spirit, helping us to understand that the new birth that we have in Christ is actually superior to the original birth that man had in Adam. We are a brand new species of people. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away and all things are become new. So brand new species of people. None like us existed before, because we are now products of the spirit rather than the earth. Thank God for that. And so we have to understand who we are and take advantage of the privileges that belong to us as Christians. Now let's drop down to verse 14 again. Please study the whole chapter again. But verse 14 is what is relevant to what we are sharing this morning about spiritual discernment. We need to have that understanding of what spiritual discernment is all about and walk in it all our days until Christ returns. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Please underline in your Bible, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why the ordinary person in this world who does not have the Holy Spirit in them cannot understand the things of God. They cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, because God is Spirit. His realm is essentially spiritual realm, and God operates from that realm in order to affect everything that He has created. Remember, Bible teaches us that even the physical things we see all around us came from the spiritual realm. God created them. God, who is Spirit, spoke His word, and then the Holy Spirit took the word of God and made those things to appear in the physical. So by faith we know that the walls were framed by the word of God, Hebrews teaches us in chapter 11. So we understand, therefore, that when it comes to the things of God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to have the discernment that comes by the Holy Spirit in order to be able to understand them. When we talk about discernment, we are talking about precise knowledge, precise insight, the ability to rightly grasp the truth behind everything as accurately as possible. And only God has that. Only God has precise knowledge of everything, because our knowledge, Bible says, as men is in part. Only God has accurate insight into all things, because He is omniscient. And if you and I, as God's children, are going to walk in that kind of privilege, we'll have to develop the life of God in us. We'll have to develop the capacity that God has put in us as newborn creation in Christ Jesus. And we all have that capacity. We have the capacity to know things to the degree that God has prepared for us to know them in this present world. Thank God that when we see Him face to face, we shall come to know everything that we ought to know. But right now, for now, God has prepared knowledge for us that is beyond what the natural man can grasp. So we are at an advantage. We are the people that have the wisdom that the people of the world actually need, because they are confused today. They don't even know what to do. They don't understand what is going on. Many of them don't even know that what is happening in the world around us today has its source from the devil, the evil spirit that is behind all the problems, all the trouble, all the confusion, all the calamity that is going on in the world today. Many of them don't even know. They don't know. They don't understand, because the devil has blinded them. The devil, remember, Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, deceive the whole world. He deceived the whole world. But he can't deceive you. He can't deceive me. Why? Because we have the light of understanding that comes from God. We have access to the insights that God ministers to us by the Holy Spirit. So we cannot be deceived. We know the truth. If you know the truth, nobody can deceive you. It is only when you don't know the truth that you can be deceived. It is when you don't have the light that the darkness can rule. So you and I have the capacity to walk in the wisdom that God has prepared for us to walk in as His people. And that's what Bible is saying here in verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the natural man, in other words, the man that is not born again, the man that does not belong to Jesus, the man that does not have the Holy Spirit in him, that man, no matter how knowledgeable he is, no matter how high his IQ may be, he just cannot touch the realm of God. He cannot understand those things of God. He cannot walk in discernment where the things of God are concerned, because he cannot enter into that higher realm. He has no capacity to get there, because he lacks the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in his life. So, the natural man. And before we move on from this verse of scripture, let us understand that even though we are Christians, we still have the natural knowledge in us. For instance, when you go to school, you don't need spiritual discernment to study the subject you study at college. You just need your natural senses. You have to take your book and read it and understand it with your natural mind, and then you go and write the exams, and then you pass and get your certificate. It has nothing to do with spiritual discernment. You don't need that for natural things. You see, Jesus said we should compare spiritual with spiritual, natural with natural. But when it comes to the things of God, you have to shut your natural mind up and understand that you cannot operate in the realm of God relying on your natural mind. You just need that for the things of this world. That's all. For instance, as I always like to give the illustration, I don't need spiritual discernment to understand that you don't walk in the middle of the road. Even a fool knows that that's a dangerous thing to do. If you are waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell you don't walk in the midst of the road, you may go home before your time. Because God will say, that's been foolish. That's been foolish. So you need natural knowledge, natural understanding, natural insight to avoid that kind of dangerous situation. But when it comes to the things of God, you cannot use your natural human senses to grasp them. You would have to open up the spirit man in you and the understanding that is available to you spiritually as a newborn babe in Christ Jesus. So that's what we are talking about this morning. We are talking about the spiritual discernment, because Bible says these things can only be spiritually discerned. And let me also emphasize here that in talking about spiritual discernment in this teaching this morning, we are not talking about the gifts of discerning of spirit. While we are here in 1 Corinthians, turn with me to chapter 12. It's good to have a clear understanding of what God is saying to us. I believe by God's grace, sometime we will be sharing on the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll be able to talk about the gifts of discerning of spirit. You see, the gift of discerning of spirit, turn there with me and see it for yourself. The gift of discerning of spirit, as it is written here, as one of the gifts of the Spirit. Look at it there in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, notice in verse 10, the gift of discerning of spirits is mentioned. That is specific kind of discernment. It's not general discernment. This is specific kind of discernment. It has to do with discerning spirits. And when we, by the grace of God, when we share on the gifts of the Spirit, we shall be able to break that down. But it actually means the ability to see in the realm of the Spirit. God just opens your eyes, and in the realm of the Spirit, at that point in time, when God opens your eyes, you can see things that you will never be able to know without God opening your eyes to see them in the Spirit. So you can discern in the spirit world at that point in time. And it's not something that any of us has all the time. Look at the next verse. So that's why we have to understand the difference between these things. We have to have a clear understanding of the truth that comes from God and be able to rightly divide the word of truth. There's so much confusion. When we are ignorant, will be confused. In fact, some people today in the church, because they don't understand these things, think that they have the special gift of discernment and they can come to a church and discern all kinds of people that are there. I say, I discern that this one is a witch. I discern that this one is a wizard. That's creating confusion. Nobody has that gift in their pocket to say, well, I can just bring it out and use to discern that this person is. It's not discerning of persons. It's discerning of spirits. It's talking about the spirit realm, and God will open your eyes. It may not last more than a few seconds, but you can see things there and God closes it. That's all. You don't have the gift. Nobody has it in their pocket to say, okay, let me use it now. I bring it out and use it now. No. The answer is right there in verse 11. Look at it. But all this worketh that one and the self same spirit dividing to every man severally, please underline in your Bible, as he will, not as you will, not as I will, not as anybody else wills, but as the Holy Spirit himself wills. So not every one of us as Christians will walk in the gift of discerning of spirits in our lifetime. Some of us will never even walk in it at all until we go home to be with the Lord. Because it's as the Spirit wills. If he doesn't will to use me in the gift of discerning of spirit, then so be it. So does that mean, therefore, that as a Christian, because I don't operate in the gifts of the spirit, of discerning of spirit, then I'll be ignorant of spiritual discernment? No. You see, spiritual discernment is common to every child of God. Every one of us as believers ought to walk in spiritual discernment. But not every one of us will walk in the gift of discerning of spirit. So we have to understand that very clearly. God may use you at a particular time to operate in the gifts of miracles. As we see many times, it may be in crusades and things like that, the Holy Spirit just comes and uses somebody there in the ministration to minister miracles. But even that person doesn't have the gift in their pocket. When they leave the crusade, you can bring a lame person to them. They will just look at the lame person. They can't get him to walk. But whereas in the crusade, the Holy Spirit is moving, using the same person to get people to walk from their wheelchair. So it is not as we will, it's as the Spirit wills. Or he may decide to use you in the gift of wisdom. And you just bring a word of wisdom to somebody that is accurate and specific. And the person will be wondering, where did you get that from? Well, it's not you. It's the operation of the Spirit. At some other point in time, that person can't operate in that. It is as the Spirit wills. And it's just momentary. It's not something you have and then you can use anytime you will. No, it is as the Spirit wills. All the gifts mentioned there, God operates them as he wills at any particular moment, in any particular situation, as he wills. So we are not talking now about the gift of discerning of spirits. We are talking about the general discernment that is common to every believer, or at least ought to be. But if we are ignorant of them, then we cannot walk in the discernment. Okay, so let's also turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, in addition to 1 Corinthians 2, 14 that we have read, because we are talking now about the general discernment, which is common to every person that is in Christ Jesus. We have to be able to spiritually discern the things of God and also know the events of the world around us by spiritual discernment. We must be able to discern the times and the seasons. That's what we are talking about here this morning. That is common to every Christian, but for us to operate in them, there are things required of us which we shall be talking about. We may not be able to get everything across today, but at least let us lay the foundation, and then subsequently we shall be able to build upon that foundation and have a clear understanding of how each one of us as Christians ought to walk in spiritual discernment, how to go about it, and how to really live this life that we have in Christ victoriously and successfully in our generation. Glory be to God in the highest. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. We have to have clear understanding and insight into the things of God. Every one of us, because we are children of God. Now, verse 20, let's read together 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's go. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Please underline that in your Bible. So every believer ought to know all things that God wants his children to know. But that is going to happen through the unction of God that is in every one of us as believers. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit knows everything because he's one with God. He is God himself. There is nothing the Holy Spirit doesn't know. Bible says it searches even the deep things of God. Turn with me also to 1 Corinthians, or let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see, the unction of the Holy One is in every born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit is in us all. The moment you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit enters into you to live in you in order to begin to guide you in the ways of God, be your leader in all things, and teach you all things, and guide you into all truth that God wants you to have as his child. And here we see that he knows everything. Look at verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Again, we see that right there in verse 9, Bible is saying that when we operate in our natural senses, we are limited in knowledge. Nobody knows everything. Even so-called experts in certain fields or profession, if you talk to them, they will tell you honestly that they themselves don't know everything. There are some things they will just say, well, we are not so sure about this one. Because human knowledge is limited. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. Ha! So this is talking about revelation knowledge now, which is beyond natural knowledge. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So when we walk in the realm of the Holy Spirit's insight, then we will know all things that God wants us to know. And we will not be limited by the natural limitation of human knowledge which the people of this world operate in. They all have limited knowledge. That's why they are confused. They don't even know that the devil is the one that is behind most of their problems. A lot of them don't know. They don't even understand that they are already blinded by the devil themselves, so they don't have a way out. You see, a blind man doesn't know which way to go. He needs somebody to hold him and guide him in the way he should go. And so that's why they are all confused. Governments are confused. The people are confused. They don't know what to do. Well, for you and I as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised, because they have been blinded by the devil, and Bible tells us they cannot operate in the higher wisdom of God because they have not the Holy Spirit who searches the deep things of God. So they cannot live beyond or above their human limitation. But for us as Christians, thank God, we have the capacity to operate from the higher realms of God. We have that, so we have to develop it. That's what we are talking about this morning. How to walk in spiritual discernment. How to take our place as God's people with the understanding and knowledge that comes from God, and know what to do and how to live victoriously, particularly in these last days, because we are living in dangerous times, as Bible says. And those who walk in the discernment that comes by the Spirit, they will walk in divine safety, and they will walk in victory. They will walk in the light of God that overcomes the darkness of this world. Hallelujah. So we see that we are talking about what is common to all. So don't think that, well, if we are talking about spiritual discernment, it's only for certain people. Only the pastors, only the prophets, only the apostles. No. It is for every child of God. If you are a Christian, you have the unction of the Holy One in you. And you ought to know. So if you don't know, it is not because you don't have the capacity to know. It is simply because you have not developed that capacity. You just have to develop it. That's all. And you'll be able to walk in it. It is so easy. It's second nature to you in the spirit. It's part and parcel of your constitution, spiritually speaking. God himself has put it in you, just as we saw in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. We just need to develop it. We need to be aware that we have it, and then begin to allow it to be developed in us so that we can walk in it. So we all, every one of us as Christians ought to walk in it. Let's also turn, again, as we said, forget about the discerning of spirits for now. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about this one that is common to every believer, everyone as Christians, and it will help us to really live as we ought to live in these last days. Let's turn also quickly to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Again, we'll just lay a foundation today and build on it some other time by God's grace. Romans chapter 13, from verse 11 to 14. Let us read together. Romans 13, from 11 to 14. Let's go. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at verse 11. And that, knowing, please underline the word knowing there. That word knowing means to discern. It is talking about spiritual knowing. It is talking about spiritual insight, which the Holy Spirit is communicating to those that belong to God in the midst of all that is happening in the world around. So he's saying, well, you need to know. Let's put it that way. You need to know that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In other words, our salvation, which God has promised us as followers of Christ, is nearer than when we first believed in Christ. So it's not talking about the initial salvation that we received when we confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's talking about the salvation that is going to come when Jesus comes to take us home. It's talking about the rapture. It's talking about the rapture. Because the rapture is an event which you will never in this Bible be able to pinpoint as to a time and date, or even events that will give clue to say, all right, we can try to estimate when it will happen. No. Nobody can. And that's why it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. It can happen anytime, the time when we least expect it. The rapture is when Jesus comes to take his church away. And those who are left behind in this world, they are going to go through the kind of suffering that nobody can even imagine now. Because the devil is going to cause them so much problem. But thank God, Jesus is still going to come and set up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. And the devil will be chained down for 1,000 years, Bible says. And then after that, he will be released. And then with so much anger, he will wreak so much havoc within a short period of time before finally Jesus will consume him. And then this world will totally be destroyed and a new one will come from heaven where you and I will dwell forever. But the rapture would have taken place before this. We are not going to go through the time of the Antichrist when he sets up himself here on earth as a man. We are not going to be here. At least the faithful Christians. Those who are not faithful, they will be here. Remember Jesus told the story about 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. So Christians who are not living in discernment, they will be taken off guard. Because they will be so carnally minded that they are not sensitive enough in the spirit to go in the rapture. And that's where the problem is. And that's why the Bible is saying that we ought to know. Knowing the time. We have to be able to discern the times and the seasons and live the way God expects us to live so that we are not caught off guard. We must be like the 5 wise virgins, ready to go at any time. We must not be so engrossed with the carnality of this world that we've lost our spiritual focus as Christians. We have to maintain our state of spiritual alertness and understand that this world is not our home. We are sojourners. We are just passing through. So we don't live like settlers in this world. You know, settlers don't have anywhere else to go. They are in a permanent location. So they can just settle there. But those who are travelers, they are always ready to move. They are not settlers. They know that they are on a journey. They can move at any time. We should live like that. We should be ready. As the Bible says, we should be ready. Be ready. Be ready to go in the rapture. Make sure you maintain your state of spiritual alertness. Don't lose your spiritual sensibilities. Don't allow carnality to rule you. Because if we are carnally minded, we cannot operate in the things of the spirit and will not be able to go in the rapture. We cannot pull together with Christ when it comes to take his own. Because it's a spiritual pulling. Those who are ready, the Holy Spirit, like a magnet, will pull them within the twinkling of an eye. What we are talking about will take place in a fraction of a second. It won't even take 1 second. Everyone that is ready, everyone that is operating in the spirit, in the church, will be taken just like that. But those who are carnally minded will be left behind. And those are the ones that will suffer the kind of things that God does not want his own children to go through. It's so unfortunate. But that's why God is calling us to awake. Let us awake. Awake from slumber. Understand who we are. Don't allow the people of this world get you to think like they are thinking and to live like they are living to the extent that you lose your place in God's operation of his own kingdom. Take your place in Christ and stand your ground steadfastly in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Again, verse 11 says, and that knowing. So it's talking about spiritual knowing, spiritual insight, discernment, and that knowing the time. So you have to be able to know the time we are living in. Understand the time that we are living in. Discern the time that we are living in. Don't just live casually like the people of this world. You walk in discernment as a Christian, as a child of God. Understand the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. In other words, become alert spiritually. For now, it's our salvation, our rapture, our being taken out of this world and all the troubles of this world nearer than when we first believed. Hallelujah. Let's also turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, we have to understand these things. We have to know the times and the seasons that we are living in by the Holy Spirit insight in us as believers. We are not ordinary people. We are God's own children. We have access to the knowledge and the wisdom of God, which the people of this world don't have access to. So let us take advantage of those higher privileges that are ours in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let us read together from verse 1 to 8. Let's go. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. Again, look at what God is saying here. For us as Christians, we should be in a state of discernment to the extent that the day of Jesus' return does not catch us off guard. We have to be in a state of discernment. We have to live in our spiritual state of alertness so that we are actually hoping, longing for, because verse 8 says we have to put as our helmet. In other words, our mind is full of that hope of salvation. We're actually waking up every morning and longing for Jesus. Like Revelation says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, come Lord Jesus. In other words, we are longing for the return of Jesus to take us home. We are ready to go. We are not living as settlers who have even lost hope of leaving the place because they have come to permanently reside in the world. We know we are not of this world, so we are longing. It's like we wake up every morning. You see, today, praise God, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. If they announce that it's today, I'm ready. I'm already packed because I don't carry heavy load. I'm traveling light. Hallelujah. All I need is hand luggage, I'm gone. But people who are carrying excess luggage, they will be left behind. The flight will have gone because they are still busy loading up. Oh God have mercy. Oh Lord God have mercy on us. Those who are ready to go, they just have hand luggage. Oh, we are announcing flights also, so they are ready to board and go. But the other ones, I say, oh, please help me. My Lord is helping. Pull that aside. Why they are still pulling? The flight has gone. No excess luggage. Hallelujah. For us as Christians, no excess luggage. We are traveling light. We are ready to go. There is a hope of salvation. We are longing for the return of Jesus because we know this world is not our home. We have a better home. We want to go. Oh Lord, when you are ready, we are ready. Whenever you are ready, Lord, we are ready. Hallelujah. That's how we are to live. So the day will come as a thief in the night, but it shouldn't catch any of us off guard. That's what the Bible is saying. That day will come. You know how it is with a thief in the night. You are not expecting it. It just happens. So the return of Jesus will come at a time when we are not expecting. That's what the Bible is saying. But we should be ready. We should be ready as Christians. We should be ready. The rapture can take place anytime, but we should be ready. Whenever God chooses to, we are ready to go. Because it will happen, Bible says, even like in the days of Noah. Everything is going like normally. People are marrying, giving in marriage. Everything is going just like normal. It's like nothing is going to happen. And then suddenly, it's done. And then those who are left behind, it's too late. So we should be ready. Let's also turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. So we all have to have this spiritual discernment at work in our lives always, not occasionally, always. And we shall be sharing on how to do so subsequently. But we have to understand what belongs to us and what God expects of us. He has already invested in us all that we need to walk in this discernment. His Spirit is in us. The Spirit of God that searches all things. The Spirit that can witness to your spirit and my spirit. Sometimes you may not be able to explain. Sometimes you just sense an urgency in your spirit. You can't put your finger on why. But that's the Holy Spirit getting your attention, preparing you for something. And I believe God that when the rapture is about to happen, every faithful Christian will have that witness in them that something is about to take place. I don't know what. There is an urgency. Something is moving me to pray. And then, they are gone. And those carnally minded Christians, they will be left behind and be like, oh, and then suddenly to hit them, yay, the rapture. Ah, I was talking to brother so-so-so. He's gone. Ah, I'm left behind. Yeah! Too late. Some of us as Christians, we are like Saul's wife. Oh, you mean I'm going to leave all these things? God says, leave the thing, now move. Oh, you know, my mansion. I just built the mansion. I still plan to do the opening ceremony next week. You mean I won't even have time to enjoy this mansion? God says, leave the thing. It's not as good as what I'm taking you into. Lot's wife. Oh, so I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Lot's wife, not Saul's wife. Lot's wife. Because God said, don't look back. But she was still looking at all the things that they were living by, and she became a pillar of salt. Many of us as Christians will fall into that trap. But God is waking us up now not to make that mistake. All those things are written down for us so that we can understand how to live in these times and in these seasons. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Glory be to God in the highest. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. For the sake of time, let's just look at verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Please underline in your Bible the phrase, men that had understanding of the times. to know what Israel ought to do. Hallelujah. In other words, men that had spiritual understanding, because it's talking about spiritual understanding here, or discernment. Men that had that spiritual discernment of the times, they understand the times and the season. There's a sensitivity in them that can grasp things that others cannot grasp, things that others just overlook. They can grasp it because of the sensitivity in them, and because of that, they can help others to know what to do when those ones don't even know. That's what Bible is talking about. And that privilege belongs to every one of us as Christians. That's why God says we are the light of the world. The world is in darkness. We know what to do. We have discernment of the times. We can tell people, well, it is the devil behind all these things. You need to come on God's side in order to be saved. It is like Noah's ark. The destruction is coming upon the world. You need to get in the ark for safety. Jesus is the ark of safety. Because we can discern the times. And we can guide people in the way to do. And then we can tell Christians who are becoming slothful, and we can challenge them, awake, awake from slumber, arise from the dead. Remember, Jesus said we should not be lukewarm. Remember, Jesus said we need to be hot. That's what we are talking about. So the men of Issachar, Bible says, they were men that had understanding. They had discernment of the times, and therefore they can help to tell Israel what to do. Hallelujah. Without discernment, we are all blind. It's as simple as that. We need God to open our eyes to see. We are all blind. Naturally, we are blind because the devil blinded all men in the natural. From the time it got Eve and Adam to disobey God in the garden, all men were blinded by the devil. The devil deceives the whole world, Bible says. But for us who are Christians, we have the insight that comes by the Spirit of God, and we cannot be blinded by the enemy. We know the truth. And so we should be like this man of Issachar. We should walk in the understanding or discernment of the times that is available to us as Christians, and we should know what to do. When we walk in discernment, we know how to live, we know what to do in the times and in the seasons of life. Let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So whether we look in the Old or the New Testament, we find exactly the same truth being communicated to us by God. We have to know all these things, and we have to walk in them. Ephesians 5, let us read together from verse 8 right through to verse 17. And then we are going to look closely at verse 15. But let us read in context together from verse 8 to 17, Ephesians chapter 5. Let us go. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. Again, this is God talking to every one of us as believers. None of us should be foolish, because we are children of God, who is the source of wisdom. And we have to be wise. We have to know the will of God and know how to live in that perfect will of God. But look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That is very important. See then. See to it. In other words, give attention to it. That's what God is saying. Take heed. Pay attention to yourself, to ensure that you walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly there literally means to walk with precision of insight. To know exactly the right thing to do. To know exactly what to do and how to do it with exact precision. Now, if we are going to do that, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. No man can walk in that kind of precision. Even we say it all the time in the world, to err is human. Isn't that so? Even the best of men in their various fields, they have made terrible mistakes. Only God never errs. Only God never makes mistakes, because He's perfect in knowledge, perfect in ability, perfect in all things. And that's what God is saying here. You have the capacity, as my children. Let's put it that way. Walk in that capacity. Walk in my wisdom. Walk with precision of understanding. Know what to do. Know how to do those things, because we are living in evil days. We are living in evil days. We cannot live like civilians anymore. As Christians, we have to be a people that are battle ready. We are soldiers of Christ. We have to be on the state of alertness. That's why I'm saying, awake, awake, arise from the dead, receive the light of Christ, because you need that light to overcome the darkness of the world. The days are evil. The days are evil. So we have to walk in that kind of precision of knowledge and understanding, and then we'll be able to redeem the time. Hallelujah. To redeem the time means to take the opportunity, to take advantage of every occurrence of God's input into your life to do the right thing at that moment. Hallelujah. Redeem the time. We cannot just live anyhow in these last days. No, we have to be precise in as to how we live, be precise in all that we do as Christians, because the devil knows his time is short and is waxing more and more ferocious in all the confusion is causing in the world, and you and I ought to overcome all those things by the light of Christ, by the wisdom of God, by the discernment of the Holy Spirit and guidance that we receive from God in our daily lives. Hallelujah. Again, it says there in verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, we should keep on understanding. It's written in present continuous tense. Keep understanding. Keep growing. Keep growing in that knowledge. Keep growing in spiritual discernment. Keep developing your capacity in the spirit to know the times and the seasons. To be like the sons of Issachar. To understand the times. To walk in the graces of God that you have access to as a child of God through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Let's stop there for today, and then we'll be able to build on it next time. But please go home, revise your notes. This is laying the foundation. At least we are seeing clearly so far that we are not ordinary people. We should not live like ordinary people of the world. We are God's own people. We have access to the Spirit of God. We have access to the realm of God. We can discern things by the Spirit of God. Things that others are not aware of, we are aware of as the Church of Jesus Christ. We know things that they don't know. And then we can be the light to them even in the darkness, like the sons of Issachar. We can guide people out of darkness into light because we have discernment. We know. What if they don't want to follow? Well, then that's their choice. Our duty is to tell them what is the truth. If they say, no, I don't want it, well, no problem. That's their choice. We can't force anybody. Even Lot could not force his wife not to look back. Could he? She had a choice. Lot had a choice. Every individual has a choice. Even God, who created us all, cannot force us to obey him. Otherwise, man should not have disobeyed in the first instance because he created Adam perfect. Adam had no sin when he created him, but God left him to make his choice. He doesn't force us. He tells us what we need to do and leaves us to choose whether we want to do it or not. It's a choice. So our duty is to tell the people, this is the truth. But if they say they don't want it, don't struggle with them. Don't quarrel with them. Don't fight them. Just leave them and pray for them. That's all. Even God doesn't force anybody. God will warn us, but he can't force us. Remember also, when God saw that Cain was about to commit the sin of murder, God came to Cain. He didn't send a prophet to him. God came to him directly and told him, Cain, why are you angry? You know the right thing to do. You still can do it now, and I will accept you. It's not too late. But watch out, sin is lying at the door. And you can shut the door on sin, but Cain refused to listen to God, opened the door to sin, and proceeded to kill his brother. Why didn't God force him not to? Because everybody has a choice. But God will be faithful to tell us what we need to do in order to avoid the trap of the enemy. But if we refuse, then it's our choice. We can go and fall into the trap. So we have to do our part. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We have to give the light to those who are in darkness. But then it's a choice whether they come to the light or remain in the darkness. But at the end of the day, we would have done our part, just as God always does his part. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. And we're just going to use that verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5 to pray for ourselves and also for our fellow brethren in the body of Christ. We are going to use that. And then also Colossians chapter 1 in agreement. That God will grant the grace unto every one of us and our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ to have the understanding, the discernment, the spiritual understanding that God expects us to walk in. That none of us will fall short of the mark that God as prepared for us in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 17 together and then we'll go to Colossians 1, read that and then just pray in other tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to help us pray for this alertness in the Spirit for every one of us to shake us up out of our slumber and get us to be roused up from our slumber and spiritual deadness, as it were, revive us again in the name of Jesus. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Dear Lord, help us all. Oh, to walk in that wisdom and in understanding of your will. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Let's go. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Praise God. If Paul prayed for the church then, at Colossae, as it is written, to come to the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding or spiritual discernment, so that they could walk in the ways of God to please Him, then we can pray that prayer for ourselves today. Much more so in these days, because these are perilous times. These are perilous times. Blessed Holy Spirit, help us to pray for one another. You know every one of us. You know how to quicken every one of us. You know how to lead us in the way of the truth, in the way of the light, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. You say in your word, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Revive us again. Revive your church again everywhere. Help every one of us to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and to respond with meekness, to say, Lord, Lord, oh, I need to walk as your child in this world. Give the grace to us all anew as we pray in other tongues in Jesus' name. Go ahead and pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes and trust that the Holy Spirit is working in every heart in this church and in the body of Christ while we are praying in Jesus' name. Mahangro seke la bahanda. Brieskune henglanondo suse kradene hita. Libromonde si kalamahanda sekredonoso la mahantes. Seregenda makre boske papale granolosi. Hallelujah, mangradone sikalamahanda, bierorosa, brierorosa, makredoneske lamahandos, silangieke skada bahanda yahata. Oh, mama, mama, mare kete beke lamahandos, segrenando kople menge de kaya lamahandos, seranande suso klege de hete, lekre beke sekete bahandos sabalahanda ya, rimos pramongo do kavle rosti me. Handes priege nagle goske mancredose mahanda yahata dieloroske henda mancromose mandele heka liegronose mahanda. Thank you, mighty Holy Spirit, for quickening every one of us and helping every one of us to awake from spiritual slumber and arise from spiritual deadness and walk in the light. For we are children of light and we are the light of the world. Help us to take up our place in Christ, to put on Christ as it is written, and make no provision for the flesh, and to walk in the truth that you have brought for us as your people. Oh, thank you for the grace that you supply to every one of us anew this morning in this church and in the body of Christ everywhere. We receive your input anew, blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling us overflowing with your own very self, that there be no room for the flesh or the world to rule us anymore. In the name of Jesus, take all the glory, dear Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and evermore. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. God bless you all and keep on keeping strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen.